Well, happy Father's Day. I'm glad you're here today. And it's a beautiful day. And if you get a second, we have a pretty blue truck outside and some signs that say Happy Father's Day on them. And stop by and take a little photo with your dad and or with the person that you love and honor as dad. And let's make this a fun day. I want to tell a little corny joke. How many likes corny jokes? All right. This sounds like a joke my mom would tell. It's kind of corny. So the son said, Dad, are bugs good to eat? The dad replies, let's not talk about such things at the dinner table, son. So after dinner, the father requires, said, now, son, what did you want to ask me? Oh, nothing, the boy said. There was a bug in your soup, but it's gone now. Might have should have talked about it when you could have. This is a true story. When I was a little guy, you know, it was like my dad had his boss's boss, like the big boss, the president of the company, come to our house to eat, which was a rare thing. And so my mom was, you know, breaking out the china and breaking all out the, you know, the, I don't know if people even do that anymore. Like, we break out, when y'all come to our house to eat, if there's a bunch of people come, we break out the paper plates, you know what I'm saying? Make life easier. But they break out the china and the silver and all that stuff. And so she said, now, Marvin, don't say nothing to Mr. Rhodes about, you know, us breaking out the china. Just keep that down the down low. Well, you know, of course, what does a kid do? So we sit down to eat. And I said, hey, Mr. Rhodes, we're so glad you came to eat tonight because we never get to eat on these plates. Kids, they teach us things. They teach us lots of things. I just had a friend who just got back from J.H. Ranch, and I really encouraged him to go. And he took his, I think he's 17 or 18-year-old son, and he was calling me and telling me about their events and what they did and how life-changing it was. And, of course, I was waiting to hear this because this has been the same effect in my life. I've been with Holly, Heather, and Haley, and you go there thinking, I remember when Holly and I went, I was like, well, I'm going to take Holly, and, you know, it's going to be really good for her. It's going to be really good for her. And it was good for her, but it was life-changing for me. I was the one that needed the instruction. And kids, God puts kids in our life to teach us life lessons. It's not just about us teaching them life lessons, but we have the opportunity to have that blessing in our life that God puts these younger ones in our life to keep us relevant, to keep us on task, to keep us understanding. And you know, it's so funny because at our dinner table, a lot of times my kids constantly correcting me, by the way. I don't talk right. I use bad grammar. I mean, it's probably true, but they're always correcting me. And Reagan, don't be laughing. They blame a lot of it on you. And so, they're always correcting me. But they also always keep me relevant. Like, they keep me understanding what's going on today and how to keep up with the Joneses, you know, a little bit, and how to stay relevant. And then parents get the opportunity, fathers to get the opportunity to anchor them to some things that are not supposed to move at all. So it's a working together that we get to do as parents, not just fathers, but as parents, to keep us moving forward. And God created that way so we would be better together, right? And that's the purpose of the kingdom of God. So everyone in this place, how many love winners? I love winners. I love winners. I love to be around winners. And I think dads are winners. I think dads are the most amazing winners in the world. But we don't just wake up one day and we're a winner. We develop that. It's through dedication and through determination. And, you know, you don't go to sleep one night and wake up the next day and you're the quarterback of your favorite team. That just doesn't happen. There's a process. There's usually, you know, you may have been born with a skill, but you're not born a winner. You have to develop the winning attitude. You have to develop the winning skills to go the distance, to go the extra mile. And at our home church in Mandeville, there was a young man that was there this past week. He's probably 30 years old, but I mean, he's bowed up. You know, you could tell he's obviously. I had a little man crush on him. He was so, and so he was so bowed up, and I was like, man, that dude really looks good. I mean, this guy was, he had a little quarter link shirt on, and just every muscle just, but you could tell, though, it wasn't just muscle. He eat right. He was healthy. He had a healthy attitude. He had a healthy perception on life. Everything about him was healthy, but I was looking at his physical body. I was like, man, I'd like to be like that. And then I got to thinking about it. I was like, nah. That'd take too much work, and I'd have to cut out some things out of my life, and I'd have to go to the gym every day, then I'd have to cut out the blue bill. That's not going to happen. And so it takes determination to be a winner, and it takes some grit. It takes some perseverance, and I want to talk today about winners and what dads that are winners and how they get to be a winner. First thing I want to talk about today is dedication. Dedication is simply this, a commitment to whatever you're committed to, whatever you're dedicated to. And I was just listening to the song that we just sang and about devotion, pouring out my heart, pouring out my devotion and on the feet of Jesus. And I do agree with that so much that all our life sources comes from him. But there's also some pouring out our devotion on people as well. That I don't think we think about sometimes. We have to be committed and devoted to people, not just to the Lord. And obviously, he's superior and he's first. But we can never be really horizontal until we get vertical. And when we get vertical in our devotion, then we can really be effective as we reach out to our friends and family. And so our dedication to that, our commitment to that, is so powerful. I texted one of my friends this morning and I told him, I said, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be faithful. I think sometimes we strive for the perfection and leave off the faithfulness. We strive for perfection and leave off the faithfulness. God's more concerned about our faithfulness than our perfection because he makes us perfect. And when we're faithful, God always makes up the parts that we miss. When we strive for being perfect, we start feeling insignificant, and because there's no way to reach that measure of perfection within ourselves. And so as we strive to be perfect fathers or perfect mothers or perfect or just perfect in whatever that is that we're trying to do, we oftentimes miss the mark. But it's in our faithfulness to continue to come back and do it again and again and again and again that God makes up the difference. I think it's so important that in our faithfulness, as part of our dedication, is to show up. It's just to show up. Be there. Be there. And so dads, here's what I want to talk to you about. The faithfulness of our duties are so important. Dads, you're a threat as a prayer warrior because of the authority that you have as a father. Not just recognized in the natural, but recognized also in the supernatural. Nobody kicks the devil's behind like a dad can. A dad has the authority as the priest over his home, the power as a priest over his home to come against the enemy in ways that nobody else can. Why? Because God's given you that authority. That's not something that you get just because you showed up one day, but it's because it's the plan of God. And he put dads as the priest over our homes and the leaders of our homes. And he's devoted to not only just to prayer, but devoted to the word. It's so powerful when a dad or a husband or a leader, or anyone leader, but especially when we're talking about dads today, is devoted to the word of God. Because here's the deal. The enemy always wants to come in and sabotage our families. But when a dad is equipped in the word of God, he can pull out a sword of the word and he can really do damage on the enemy. He can speak over our, we can speak over our children when they're in a certain situations, and we can pray over them, and we can call down the word of God. And the promises of God are yea and amen. And what God has already spoke, he will perform till it's finished work. So I don't have to come up with a plan because I have a plan. I don't have to come up with an idea because I have an idea. And so as a father, I want to be equipped with the word of God so that when situations come up, I don't panic and run to the world to try to figure it out, but I run to the Father. And when I speak his word over my family's life, it changes everything. It changes everything. Proverbs tells us this, that how much God provides not only for us in the natural, but in the supernatural. It says in Proverbs 14, confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of him. And their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. When we're lovers of God, there's something supernatural that happens just out of my love for God. My love for God. As a father, there have been times when I felt inadequate as a father, like you know, I really did all that wrong, and I did. I did some things wrong. Just if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do it the same way. And there have been times in raising kids that I thought, well, my kids, I really wish they would do some things different than what they're doing. But in the midst of all of those question marks that we have, those things that we're trying to figure out, is if we're lovers of God, if we really have this passionate love for his presence, and we invite his presence every day into our life, what the Lord does in that supernatural realm is far greater than any ability that I have in the natural. Now, that doesn't leave me in a place where I don't study and learn and prepare myself and try to equip myself so that I could be a better father and to be a better husband and just to be a better Christian, be a better man. But at the same time, I know that there are places in my life that I haven't completely brought to the level that I would like for them to be, much less to the level that God would want them to be. But in all of that, my love for him sure makes up the difference. And when I get in his presence, it becomes a teacher to me. You know that the Lord could download more in your life. And now, look, I'm not against reading books, but it's funny to me that young parents, sometimes they'll get books about how to raise their kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I just want to tell you something. There's no little babies in the room here this morning right now. But there's no instruction manual on the bottom of your kid's behind. And no matter how much you think you know, I have five kids and they're all different. They're not going to be the same. It's not wrong to read, but you remember that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give you the wisdom you need at the time that you need it. And trust me, it's good for us to read and to learn because sometimes the Holy Spirit brings back what we've studied. But at the same time, sometimes we get frustrated as dads and like, what do I do with this kid? And this is what you do. You remember the time that you brought him to the church and you dedicated him to the Lord? And you said, Lord, this is your child. And we give it to you. Let's just stand up on that word. And my dedication is more important than what I do ceremonially in the dedication of the child. My dedication to God gives me wisdom and gives me understanding. And it also forgives me when I do it wrong. And that's a very powerful, powerful thing. And I hope you get that today. Yes, yes. Hope you get that today. So it provides a place of shelter. It provides a place of security. So many things that we do to try to provide those things, we strive to do them, and still it's never enough. You know, oftentimes we're more concerned about where our kids live, where they go to school, and what they do than what really matters most. Not that those things are wrong, but those things can't be first in our life. Psalm 78 says this, we've heard the true stories from our fathers about our rich heritage. We will continue to tell our children and hide them from the rising generation of great marvels of our God. His miracles and power they have brought us thus far. I look back over the years and I remember hearing my dad tell stories. My dad is a rock in my life. And I remember my dad telling me stories of how he came through his childhood without things that most people in life have. Now, he never complained. You know, he didn't ever tell me the story that he didn't have a pair of shoes, his own pair of shoes, till he was 14 years old. His sister told me that story, but my dad never said, well, poor is me. But he always said, God was always faithful to us. Even when we didn't have things, even when we wasn't like, you know, the other person or this person, God was always faithful to us. I watched my dad as he built a business and when I was just a young man, and my dad always talked about the goodness of the Lord. My dad worked hard, but he was always giving God the glory for all the miracles that happened in our life. And throughout life, Dad was constantly teaching me. And some would think that I was a very rebellious child, and I did have a lot of fun opportunities in life. But But in all of those moments, my dad was so faithful to love me through all of those times and show me the grace of God and show me the goodness of God and tell me the miracles and tell me the miracles and tell me the miracles. 25 years ago, I married this beautiful woman right here. And God gave me another dad, another godly man, and I honor my father-in-law today, who also has seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle. And never complain about where they've been, but always talk about where they're going. And it's only because of the grace of God that they see those things in the future. They see what God is going to do next. They believe and they trust. And that is a great inheritance that we have. You see, one day my dad and my father-in-law, if the Lord should tarry, they're going to go on to be with the Lord. And it won't be their houses. It won't be their cars. It won't be their money. It won't be any of those things, because those things will, you know, what happens with those things, they get spent, they get life changes, they go away, whatever. But what will never go away is the inheritance of the love of God. The things that they shared and they've taught us, and those will be passed on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Those things are the most valuable things as we as fathers have, is to continue to tell the miracles in our life. Amen. I was thinking this morning after the second service, I was thinking about a time in Angie and I's life when we were, you know, in the first came here and there was no money at all, and we were working and we were trying to just make it. And of course, our parents were helping us to survive those times, and they were faithful to help us then. But I remember one morning I got up to go to work, and Angela was, Angela don't get rattled a lot. She's very calm, cool, and collective. But this particular morning, she was just tears in her eyes, and she was probably fearful, if I would use any word, just concerned, maybe a better word. And we had no money. And she had one diaper left and no formula. And of course, you know, I was trying to be strong by just saying, "It's going to be all right." And she was like, "Yeah, you're leaving to get the car and leave. And I got one diaper." I was like, "Wash out the cloth diapers. It's going to be good." So I was just trying to be positive and go about my way. And I could tell, though, that particular morning that God, that she was really fretting, like, what are we going to do? So I drove to the stop sign, which was really at the end of my yard. And we lived on the corner there. And I drove to the stop sign and realized I didn't have my cell phone with me, God forbid. And so I turned around to go back and get my cell phone. And when I walked up on the porch, she had this huge smile on her face. I mean, she was just glowing. I was like, "My gosh, that was quick." And she was holding an envelope in her hand. And while she was standing on the porch watching me drive off with tears in her eyes, she reached over in the mailbox and there was a check for $1,000 that somebody, it was end of the year, it was close to the end of the year, and they had not paid tithes, and they just really wanted a write-off on income taxes. We didn't really care what they wanted. We were just happy to get the $1,000. And those miracle moments when God showed up for us are the things that we've continued to tell our kids, no matter where you're at. I remember another particular time that we were trying to figure out how to make some ends meet. And God sent this handful of $100 bills to us. And I laid those $100 bills out before our kids, and we said, "Look, God's our provider. God's our provider." Now, here's what I know. I know my oldest daughter's married, and I'm thankful that she's got a great husband. But I know that in her life, in their life, they're going to have days when they don't have enough money. And I want the inheritance that they receive is not to come to me and necessarily ask me for money, but to have faith in God that God will provide for them. Because when I don't have the money to give them, Father God is still sitting on the throne, and He's still their provider. And the greatest inheritance that they're ever going to receive is probably not going to be a whole lot of money and some great earthly wealth. But if I can give them the inheritance that my father and my father-in-law has given to me, then I can pass that on to the next generation. I'm going to have grandkids that are going to know the Lord. Amen. And understand the goodness of the Lord. Amen. The greatest inheritance on earth. And so I want my devotion to be always before the Lord. And I want them to say that someday when I pass away, I want them to look back at the years of my life and the story to be that my dad was not perfect. And I'm not a perfect man. I could tell you stories today and trying to raise kids where I've done it wrong. I can tell you stories today where I look back and go, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have lost my temper. I wish I hadn't have said what I said. I wish I wouldn't have done what I did. But in the midst of all that, I want them to look back and say, my dad was a lover of God. Through it all, through his mistakes, through his failures, there was this faithfulness of the love of God that he kept before us. That even in his weakness, God came through. The greatest thing we can give our kids is a spiritual inheritance and the things that God has done in our lives. Because of the dedication and commitment to God and to their family, their inheritance is greater than all the wealth of this world. You can't buy it with money. You can't buy it with money. Wow. The next thing I want to talk about is determination. Determination. Sometimes it just takes some guts. Come on, men of God. Sometimes you just got to have guts. You got to have courage. You got to just see it through. But the word determination means to be assured of your purpose. A man's greatest calling is to be a father. It takes a real man to be a father. And I don't mean this to be ugly in any kind of way. But any man can make a baby. But it takes determination to be a father. 24 million children are without fathers in the U.S. alone. The effects of this is very staggering. I looked this up and just updated my resources on this yesterday and looked into it. And I could spend the next 15 or 20 minutes telling you about all the negativity that happens in a father's home, but you already know that. I want to tell you about the power of having a father in a home. I want to tell you about how when a child grows up and they have that steadfast father that's warring for them, that's fighting for them, how powerful that is, how it changes their perspective on life. How they see that they're worth something, how they value themselves is how that daddy responds to crisis situations in their life. Does he fight for them? Does he go to war for them? Does he stand in the gap for them? Is he there for them? Is he putting food on the table? Is he giving his very best to see them succeed? Not only in the spiritual things, but also in the natural things. Now, there have been times in my life that I've been very disappointing to my father. My earthly father. And my earthly father has always loved me through it all. And I think sometimes how difficult I made it on my dad to love me. But he loved me still. He was always there for me. He didn't enable me to do the things that I was doing wrong. But he always was there as a safety net from when I fell. To catch me when I was falling, to catch me when I made the wrong choices. He would fight for me. He would stand up for me. And it takes determination sometimes to overcome disappointments. Listen, kids are going to disappoint you. I can promise you that. Holly's sitting here on the front row. She used to break my heart and she could even talk. Before she was ever old enough to talk, I would come in. I'd say, Holly. And she'd be like, I'm like, girl, it's daddy. She can still do that. She's 20 years old. Just break my heart. Like I'm not even in the room. I remember Holly, you know, you're not going to buy Holly's love. I can promise you that. I remember my bishop, Bishop Tenney, his secretary would always try to get Holly to like her by giving Holly candy. And she would always like, hey, Holly, you want some candy? Holly, like, I don't want your candy and I don't want you touching me. I'd be like, baby, here, just be nice to the lady. You know, kids are all different. And in all of this process of life, you're just going to be times when you're raising kids that they're going to break your heart. They're going to break your heart. And there are times in their life that you've already broken their heart as a dad. And if we focus on the times that where heart is broken, we'll miss the times that God's given us great grace. And he's given us great mercy. The enemy would like to get us focused on the disappointments. But what about celebrating victories? What about celebrating the things that are great? When you're feeling like, hey, look, I'm disappointed, why don't you look like the Bible, like David said, I look to the hills from which comes my help, my help coming from the Lord. I look back at the victories of my life, and I know that even in this time of disappointment, there's going to be victories ahead of me. Because why? Because my eyes are set on him, not on this moment of disappointment. And your commitment to be determined that I'm going to see this through all the way. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to turn around. Even when I feel rejected, there are times that I quit. I'm just going to be honest with you. There are times like, I quit. I'm not being a dad no more, and I'm not being a husband no more. I'm loading my car, and I'm just driving somewhere. Anywhere. Off a cliff. Don't y'all look at me like that, because you've had them same days. But I didn't. I didn't. Because you know what? In the end, there's more great victories than there are disappointments. In the end, there's more joy than there are disappointments. And I'm going to use Holly again. Like, I just remember the day she got married, and she walked down the aisle, and then I looked up and I saw Peyton, and I was like, it was worth it. We've reached another milestone in our life. It's worth it. She married this great guy. God, you're good. God, you're faithful. I think about Heather, and I think about just her willingness that she's strong. She's powerful. Man, the girl's powerful. She corrects me every day on a regular basis. I think about the talents of Haley and the gifts that she has in her and her compassion for people. I think about my Hannah, who's so in love with God. She desires the presence of God more than anything else. She's so sensitive to the presence of God. And I think about my little Heidi. By the way, I just need to go ahead and announce this now, should the Lord tarry. She's already told me that she's going to pastor this church. She's your next pastor. She's already made that really clear. Her confidence. When her pawpaw looked at her and said, girl, what are you going to do with your life? She said, like, really? You asked that dumb question? I'm going to pastor dad's church. The confidence that she has. Look, I'm not here today to talk about my kids. I'm here to tell you that in each and every one of them, all God requires from me is to stay. All God's requiring of you is when disappointments come, stay the course. Stay the course of loving them. Stay the course of being faithful. Stay the course of loving God first. Stay the course, because in the end and through all the disappointments, guess what's going to happen? God's going to show up. And there's going to be great victory. Amen. You're winners, guys. You got God's heart. You got his spirit. You got his purpose. You got his love. Amen. It takes determination. Don't give up. When we think about Father God and his heart for us, he never gives up on us. He always loves us in spite of us. He's always willing to do and go the extra mile. He loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us. He was willing to die so that we might have this moment right now, this day, and the power to overcome. He didn't just die so that we could exist. He died so that we could live this abundant life of overcoming life. You talk about an inheritance. My daddy God has given me an inheritance that's eternal. That's eternal. His heart for me is eternal. And we live in this little dispensation of time and this moment of time and this segment of time. And sometimes we get so focused on what's here and now, and we forget that God's taken us through not just this moment in life, but he's taken us through all of eternity. And he's never given up on us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there with you all the time. I'm committed. I'm determined. I'm focused. And my heart is for you. And I want that. And here's what I want. I want that to be the same attitude that I have of my earthly father that I want to give to my children. Just the determination to see it through. Willing to die. Willing to give his life for his children. I'm about to close. Have you ever seen the movie Patriot? How many's ever seen it? All the dudes have seen it. Come on, guys. If you've seen it, raise your hand. Come on. Give me like that. Probably my dad and Braveheart's probably my favorite shows. I just love. They happen to be both Mel Gibson, but I just love them. And I love in the Patriot story how Mel Gibson, his son is a messenger, and he don't even agree with his son, but in that storyline, his son's being hauled off by the British Army. They're coming to take him, and there's something rises up in his dad. He's like, "That's my kid. You're not taking my kid." Got this big old battalion of men, and so they tie him and they drag tie him up behind a horse, and he sees his son go off being dragged off with tied up with a rope and behind a horse, and so then he gets his younger sons together, and he rallies the family together, and he arms them with guns, and he goes up and he hides in the woods, and he creates an ambush for him. And when the sun is coming, you can see the heart of this father rising up. And they begin to shoot the other army, and they begin to, you know, knock this one off and knock that one off. Of course, they didn't have, M16s like we have now, so they were cannon, you know, those, not cannonballs, but smoke poles. What do you call those things? Yeah, black powder. And so they couldn't load them that fast, but the little kids, boom, they were shooting them. And there was this group of army, these people left, and the dad runs off the top of the hill. And he's got that axe. And, man, he goes to town on them. Boy, it was awesome. Only if you're a man, you would like this. Blood going everywhere. He's bleeding. There's blood squirting in his face. And he, "You're not taking my son." But there's a little moment and a little clip that you look. And the camera pans up, and there's the other boys, and they're watching the younger boys. One of them, tears running down his face. And this is not in the movie, but it came in my heart as I was watching. I was like, I wonder what those other little boys thought. That dad doesn't agree with big brother, but he's fighting for him. If dad will fight for him, I got confidence dad's going to fight for me. If dad would run down there and risk his life to save big brother, then dad's going to go to the war for me.
Amen.
I want my kids to see me go to war. Amen. If I get blood all over me, that's even better. Sorry, women. It's Father's Day. It's not a chick flick. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to give my all. I'm willing to die. That's how the Lord sees us. That's how the Lord sees us. So worship team is coming. I feel like God wants us to know today his heart. He's willing to die for us. He's willing to give everything for us. And I want us as men, I want to just tell you, men, you're winners. You're the heroes in my life. When I look around and I see dads that are fighting for their kids, I'm like, yeah, that's a hero. Amen. You know, like I admire great men. I admire You know, I just, you know, and I'm not a LeBron's fan, but I just watched this thing yesterday, day before yesterday, about LeBron and how he loves his family. Man, he carries his family in the middle. You know, I'd seen it, but I really wasn't thinking about it. You know, when he's interviewing, he's got his kids crawling all over him. At home, they showed clips of him at home where he's playing with his kids and they're dunking on the basketball on the, you know, here's LeBron, he's whatever. And he's got his little guys down and he's blocking them out, but he's giving them a little room. So they dunk the ball. He's like, oh, yeah. You know, he's doing, he's saying, you guys are winners like your dad. The investment I'm making. I love the heart of like Drew Brees. His family's first. I love these, to see these heroes do that. But you know what? I like everyday heroes. I like everyday heroes. I like when I drive up to La Coretta restaurant in Covington. And I see one of our dads who's working hard. He's putting food on the table for his kids. But he's at their ball games. He applauds them when they're playing drums at church. He's standing in the gap with them when they have shortcomings. You're my hero. You're a winner. You're a winner. It's the little things. It's the things that go unnoticed. Here's the deal, dads. We can work hard and have two jobs. Our kids can drive the best sports car, go to the best schools. You know, when I was growing up, the thing was, is who had the Nike shoes? Who had the Jordans? Who had the, you know, the coolest sneakers? Nowadays, it's like, break out the iPhone. Who's got the latest Android? I always said I was going to buy my kids those. They don't need them phones. What do they need a phone for? They all got them. But you could provide all of that stuff in the world for your kids. They can have the coolest phone, coolest car, go to the coolest school. But you know what they need most? Dedication and determination. Amen. Dedication and determination. Time. You're heroes, guys. Doesn't make you a hero to have the biggest house. Sitting on the riverbank. My favorite house growing up was not the house, the last two houses that my dad lived in. The big ones. It was a little small brick house we had. I remember in the backyard cleaning squirrels. Learning how to scale fish. I remember those 32 pine trees that my dad made me rake the yard before I could go anywhere. I hate pine trees. I cut them all down. But those pine trees taught me some lessons in life. Because if you didn't rake pine straw, you wouldn't go in to your friend's house. Back then I thought, man, Dad's rough. Does he know how much pine straw is in his yard? We got a half acre and 32 pine trees. There's a lot of pine straw here. I remember 40, 50 bags of pine straw. I'm not joking. It wasn't about the pine straw. It was about teaching me how to make it in life, how to set goals in life, how to finish the task. Oh, he could have hired somebody to do that. So all those little lessons in life, dads, you're heroes about, And they're going to look to you later and they're going to say, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. It's not just Dad's. But today's Father's Day. My dad. I know this ain't politically correct. We can't do this anymore. My dad kind of had a suck it up attitude. Hey, boy, suck it up. I can't do it. Yeah, you can. It's too big for me. Ain't too big for you. You can do it. I'll tell you one last story about my dad. He don't like me to tell this story, but I asked my dad one day if I could go to the local community pool to go swimming. I already knew he was going to say no, but I asked anyway. I already knew I was going anyway, too. I had my swim trunks on underneath my pants. And he said no. As soon as he left to go on his Saturday, run the bus route, get little kids to come to church. I normally went with him, but this Saturday, I didn't feel like going. I took off to the pool on my bicycle, and I was swimming, and I was being all cool, you know. And I heard,
Marvin, pull to the front gate, please. Marvin, pull the front gate.
And I jumped in the water, man, and I was like a hippo. All you could see was my eyes. I saw my father loading my bicycle up in the back of his car. And it was more like, poof. I was like, oh, he knows I'm here. Might as well face it. I went and got in the car, sit in the back seat because I felt that was the safest place. And we drove past the house and I thought, praise God, he's got something to do. He'll cool down before I get it. My dad's old school. He believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. He pulled up across the street from our church that we went to, which is a block and a half from our house. He went in the woods and he came out with a switch. This switch had switches on it. It was more like a limb. He took me home and he spanked me that day. I was wet and I had some stripes upon my backside and legs when I went to school the next day. One of the boys at school saw me as I was dressing out for gym. He said, what happened to you? I said, my dad spanked me. He said, you should turn him in. Call child protection on him. I grabbed him by the collar and I threw him against the wall. I said, boy, if you ever talk about my dad like that, I'll beat the daylights out of you. Because I knew my dad would never. Bring discipline. To my life. Because he had a better measure for me. Amen. He saw the rewards in me. He saw the good in me. And the discipline today was for the perfection tomorrow. Don't ever get caught up in this world that your time that you spend discipline. Make sure it's, here's the reason I knew that. Because every time daddy disciplined, it was overshadowed by love. Yes. And the power of his love was the perfection of his discipline. Guess what? I'm 53 years old. It's been a while now. But he's called me on the phone. I was in prayer today, son. And the Lord talked to me. There's some things you need to work on in your life. Dad, I'm 50 years old. you calling me for? No, I didn't say that. I was like, thanks, Dad. Thanks for being devoted, amen, dedicated, and determined. Amen. And look, I know there's probably people in this place today, and I had a man speak to me as we left out last service. He said, I thank you for talking about your dad today. He said, I didn't have that kind of dad. He said, and I wished I would have. I know there's people here today that didn't have that kind of dad, but you are a dad. No matter what kind of dad you had, doesn't mean that's the dad you got to be. But you can never be the dad that you're supposed to be until you forgive the dad that you had. Because if I had hours on end, I could line my girls up today and they could tell you things they don't like about me and things I've done wrong, mistakes I've made, and pain I've caused them. Because we're just human beings. So somebody else, I want you to forgive today. Forgive yourself. Don't look in the past of the hurt of yesterday. Look to tomorrow. I can't go back and change yesterday. You know what I can do? I can look at my sweet girls in the face and say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm going to be better tomorrow. Because you learn and I learn. We all learn. But one thing I'm going to do, and I want you to get this in your heart today, Dad. Come on, you're heroes. You're winners. You're going to lose some of the games. You're going to lose some of the battles, but you're not going to lose the war if you stay dedicated and determined. If you stay committed to the cause, if you stay committed to the purpose. And I believe in you guys. I believe y'all are the best there is. I believe y'all are the world changers today. I believe y'all make a difference. And I believe God's pointed you. Let me tell you something. Like I said in our last baby dedication, God trusted you. He trusted you. Don't ever forget that. Me and this man's got a lot in common. We got all girls. God trusted us with those girls. Before the worlds were framed, He chose you to have them three beautiful girls. He trusted you, Dad. He believes in you. It ain't ever too late. I want to stay committed, devoted. Can I pray over the pops today? Can I pray over all of the dads today? I want to pray over the dads, and I want to pray over the soon-to-be dads, the some one day be dads. I want to pray over you mighty men of God, even you young guys, even you little ones. I hope y'all have heard what I had to say today. Can I pray over you? Come on, dads. Just hold your hands out to the Lord today. I want you to receive today. Father, forgive us where we failed, made mistakes, where we've struggled. Thank you, God, that you don't expect us to be perfect. Thank you that you love us, God, and your love for us is so crazy amazing. Thank you, God, for trusting us with kids. Thank you, God, that you put us in their lives. And today, Lord, we forgive ourselves. We forgive maybe some of the things that happened in our past and hiccups and hang-ups we've had. Maybe our dads wasn't always there. We forgive, God. But here's what we offer to you today, Lord. We offer you our hearts today. Here's our devotion, God. Here's our commitment, God. That from this day forward, God, we're going to be the winners that you called us to be. Here's the deal. We're already winners, God. You've already promised us, God. You've already put your hand upon us. You've already appointed us, God. Today, the day that child was conceived, God, was the day of our appointment as a father. And we're thankful for this opportunity. So give us the grace, oh God, when we face situations, Lord, when we don't understand, give us the grit to fight, God. The grit, Lord, to stand up for righteousness in our home, righteousness in our own lives, and righteousness in our children. God, give us the ability to forgive quickly, to restore earnestly, and to heal like you've healed us. Give us the heart of the Father, your heart, God. I can't love my kids with your love without you in my life. Give me your love, God. Give me your grace, oh God. Give me your peace, oh God. Give me your joy, oh God. God, I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you my best. I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray.